Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Gambit. I guess our final edition before the NFL draft. We're chomping at the bit for the draft, even though Gator Jay isn't with us, for those watching on screen. Thinking about you, Jay. Hope we'll do the best for you. Brian, though, my regular co-host still here. How are you, Brian?
I'm great, Kyle. Like you said, we're inching closer. 1 week from today, tips off, so couldn't be any better.
Yeah, for sure. And we want to, I guess, kick off this early draft period with a guest, going for two's own, Cody. How are you doing, Cody? I know you've written quite a few draft profiles for Going for Two, and we'll talk all about that.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited for the draft. It's fantasy season Super Bowl, so I'm really excited for it.
That's true. The one night that kind of gets us all together, probably talking about as much as we did the Super Bowl. So, yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's very appropriate. It's our Christmas. Only without the colder weather, depending on where you are. But, yeah, wherever you are, though, you know, check out Going for Two Live here on YouTube, the Going for Two Live YouTube channel, as well as Twitch, Facebook. Join us for comments. I know if you can maybe see the videos on Twitter. We can't get your Twitter comments, though, in the feed, so again, recommend you head over to the Going for Two YouTube page if you want to chat, interact, such as Jamie's doing here, saying hello everyone, one of the co-hosts of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. They did another great episode this week, and yeah, look forward to them most Tuesdays. But yeah, I guess there's one person that's going to look forward to every day of his new contract with the Eagles, and Brian, I know before we get into the draft profiles, you want to talk about a couple subjects, so I'll let you kick off your thoughts and reaction to Jalen Hurts' big new contract extension.
I guess the biggest take that I've got is, first of all, I did not realize in regards to the hit on salary cap that Dak Prescott's is significantly more per season than Jalen Hurts, or at least is what I heard on news today. So even though it's the highest paid contract in the NFL, they've done a really good job of maneuvering where it isn't a huge salary cap hit. So,
well, and I think part of that is also like the last years will maybe be bigger cap hits. And I think we're kind of approaching that for Dak, right? These are the later years of Dak's contract. So I do think like that's, you know, it was cheaper earlier when you had like Zeke still on the roster and they were even tight for money then, right? And I think a few problems for the Cowboys financially from certain contracts. But Cody, feel free to share your thoughts.
I think they got really great value. I mean, for what Deshaun's got, what Kyler got, and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, Jalen's already proved that he's went to a Super Bowl at least. And, I mean, you can see that it's value for sure, but he also knows that he wants to win with the Eagles, and I think that's a huge takeaway of it too. He got his guaranteed money for sure, but it's not fully guaranteed like a lot of people want. Me, myself included, if you can go get your money, go get it. But it was a nice team-friendly deal, and I think that just shows how the leadership of Jalen Hurts. He wants everyone else on his team to also get theirs as well, and that means ultimately a ring on their finger as well.
Yeah, you could tell they weren't satisfied just getting close. Like, they want to win it all.
Yep.
Not for sure. So yeah, Jamie's mentioning, it's true. Cause I did watch the cheat sheet after the fact. Sorry. I'm kind of loving these hockey playoffs right now. So sorry, I missed the show, Jamie, live, but yes, I love the Evan Hull talk. Not going to talk Evan Hull tonight, unless you guys want to. A guest will get his way. So Cody, if you do want to bring up Evan Hull, feel free. But, what we're going to do is we're going to talk, there's a few, NFL topics, Brian kind of brought up to being potentially good topics, and we'll kind of get through them throughout the episode, but we'll also alternate with some of Cody's profiles. And one thing, we'll plug a few things. First off, goingfor2.com, which is where you can find all of our written articles, including all these profiles that Cody wrote that we will be referencing. Goingfor2.com/store, if you like the hat I'm wearing, you can order a few of those, or shirts and apparel and such. We also have a Going for Two Discord, free to join, and tons of great members And I know Scott Fishbowl was a big thing last year. All the Scott Fishbowl mocks we were doing, we got tons of tracks and tons of new members joining because of that. So that time of year is approaching quickly. So feel free to join the Going for Two Discord. That's at Discord/Going for Two.
That's where I found the website too, was from Scott Fishbowl and then the Discord. So and then I found the website and I've loved it ever since. So.
Yeah, a lot of collaborators through there too. And yeah, it's a great place, a great resource. So encourage everyone to go check that out. Also going to give way to the sponsors here, Underdog Fantasy. Sorry, Cody, going to hide you for the shiny QR code that people will love. ooh, there's the shine. So if you can scan the QR code to join, or you can use the promo code GF2. Again, like on the hat for those who get the visual experience. But yeah, either way, whether you use the promo code or scan the QR code, you will get a double deposit match when you join Underdog. So whatever you deposit up to $100, they will match that, and then you'll have double that money in your account. So let's say you max out and put the $100 in, you'll have $200 to play with. Maybe you want to go for NHL games and bet on that, or NBA playoff games, golf, all the racing sports, baseball's back. The Blue Jays ended a big winning streak by the Tampa. That's nice. That's this division opponent's trying to do something. Let's go get them. I love that, even though I don't really care about baseball that much, but they're Canadian, so I care, damn it. Of course, Underdog best ball drafts, the best part of fantasy football. And you can, again, access all that, again, using the double deposit match with the promo code GF2 or scanning the QR code on screen. We'll take that off screen so we can show our great guest and talk about some rookie draft profiles. So we had a whole list here, Cody. I don't know if there was any player you wanted to talk about right off the bat.
We can start from the top. That's fine with me.
All right. So I love running backs. So let's go with a running back, Sean Tucker out of Syracuse. Which, again, Canadian. I know there's quite a few Canadians that end up going to Syracuse, the proximity to the border and such. So, yeah, tell us about everything you want about Sean Tucker.
I like Sean Tucker, I think, more than a lot of people. And I think him not testing, obviously, because of injury, has hurt his stock a little bit. But his tape doesn't lie. And what I see on his tape, I really enjoy. And, I mean, he also had 206 carries this last year. So that means that he was the prolific back in a backfield in an ACC. So Power 5 conference, getting over 1,000 yards and 11 TDs. And then he also had receiving upside as well. And I mean, with all those pros, obviously he does have some cons. And sometimes he's impatient at the line of scrimmage and likes to bounce it out a little bit. And in the NFL, that won't work out. But it's something that you can fix. We've seen it running backs in the past fix all that kind of thing. So I really like him. I think other people should as well. I think some of the other people getting some hype, like I would say Israel Abanaconda. I like Sean Tucker more than him in that regard, but he didn't get to showcase himself either. And that does hurt.
Think he will have a pro day on Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, because he just got medically cleared. So that might, you know what? That might help.
Yeah, and some people are saying just like that almost give him an edge because it'll be fresh. Especially if he does really well, it'll be fresh in the scouts' minds. Yeah. Brian, did you want to add anything about Sean Tucker?
Oh, sure. I know for one that I like him better than Kyle does on this one. We had a mock draft 2 weeks ago, and I picked him with, I believe it was probably the 2.12 pick, and kind of got teased about it. So I'm right there on Tucker. I like him quite a bit myself.
Yeah, I was, even though I love the school Syracuse and certain players, I know there's an offensive lineman. He's Canadian coming out, Bouchard, I think. That'll be good there. Not quite so much a fan of the running back, though. If you want to get Cody's fuller thoughts on him, again, check out the draft profile on goingfor2.com. There's an entire section on all the profiles, not just Cody's, but, of course, Ryan Searfoss, one of the co-hosts on the flagship Wednesday show. Their show last night was fantastic. They did a rookie mock. I guess it's the style to do this time of year. But mocking, ranking, I did want to kind of there were three kind of quarterback themes that Brian wanted to bring up in terms of newsworthy topics. And I thought I could just throw two of them together. It was the former teammates at Alabama, Jalen Hurts' contract, and then Tua, and kind of coming out and saying something to the effect of doctors kind of assured him at, from this point on, he's at no further risk of CTE than he already would be playing football anyway. And I think, like, you know, he was aware of those risks anyway, and that was something he was willing to take. And it doesn't seem like right now he's at an increased risk because of the concussions he suffered. So it, because of that, it sounds like that's why he's decided to continue playing. And of course we'll see for how long that is, but I also think that's every player, right? And I joked about it last week. We talked about Tyreek Hill, right? Like, you know, he says he's going to retire in 3 years, but he also may suffer an injury between now and then that may force him to retire before then, right? So we don't know anyone's longevity truly, but it does seem like Tua certainly wants to at least hit that second contract to make all this worth it, to make that big payday. So I'd expect him to be playing for a couple more seasons at the very least. And Dynasty Lifespan, that's all we care about. His time with Tyreek will be good, right? But that was the topic. I know the Trey Lance trade talks, apparently, 49ers are listening to trade. So just thought it'd be interesting to, like, where do we rank these quarterbacks? And I think Hurts is obviously much higher, but thoughts on, like, super flex quarterback rankings for all three of them, where we, especially I think Tua and Lance, who might be hovering around that QB12 spot. Like, are they, you know, would you put either as a QB1 or not? So we can kind of discuss about all these quarterbacks if you guys like. Brian, I don't know if you want to start.
Yeah, like you said, Hurts is in a class by himself out of these three. The other two, I think right now, I mean, it's really tough to say. I mean, needless to say, if there is a trade, Lance definitely leapfrogs to me. I mean, it's just my personal opinion. I've got a lot of concern about that concussion. I mean, he had what, two last year, I believe, and it doesn't sound like he, I don't know. I mean, one more good hit and he may be out of the NFL. I mean, we're all theoretically day to day, but he sounds more day to day than most quarterbacks. So I'd have major concern. And I guess the other question I'd have to throw out there, Brock Purdy, from what I understand, did not have to go undergo Tommy John surgery. So is the automatic day one starter, or is there going to be a battle during summer camp, or what's going on with that, do y'all think?
You can go ahead, Cody.
I think if Trey Lance gets a shot, he's going to keep that job, but I'm also a Trey Lance truther through and through, so I'm a little biased in that regard. But Purdy will give him the business if he doesn't produce in the first 2 or 3 weeks. So I think him working out with Mahomes is really good for him. And in terms of value between the three, obviously, yes, Hurts is the best. I would put Lance above Tua, even though the ankle injury is significant, but that's not going to stop him from running. I can see there's a lot of value in running quarterbacks in fantasy, especially in super flex. I would argue that fact. I would like Jalen Hurts in a lot of leagues because he has rushing TD upside as well, and that's 6 points instead of four. So that's why I would put him above Tua right now, because with his concussions and stuff, they do not want him to get hit. So that's the only reason I would, because because Trey Lance is still pretty green. I will admit that, but I think his potential is still there as well. But a trade would be nice, but I think he's going to be the day one starter, just because I've heard Purdy is still going to be out maybe the first few weeks. So we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, and interesting talking trade. Apparently someone offered Jamie Brock Purdy for his share of Kenny Pickett. So he countered, well, if I'm going to sell Pickett, give me Kyler Murray. I'm assuming they rejected that, as they probably should. I guess actually that would be an interesting one for me, is Trey Lance or Kenny Pickett, like a dynasty value right now.
I think that's a lot closer.
So are you guys saying you'd rather have Kenny Pickett than Tua?
Pickett for me, but I'm a Steelers fan, so I'm biased. So
how the mighty have fallen. Because I'm still on Tua as a top 12 quarterback right now. Like I've got him still ahead of Kyler Murray. Like that's how much the fact that it looks like Tua's playing week one. I love his upside on a weekly basis with Tyreek and Waddle. So I'm going to stick with Tua, and I think he's a good value this offseason. And that's kind of, I've been on team Tua, like, strangely, a ton this offseason. Cody, though, I will say one thing I love that you mentioned is if Trey Lance gets the, like, even if it's not even the week one start, like in training camp, those reps, he's showing off the athletic traits that they drafted him for. That's where the risk of, okay, they're convinced to start him. And I think that's probably why Brock Purdy chose to go this route, because I think he probably senses it. He has a chance to get this job, but he's got to do it now. If they give Trey Lance a whole season and he matures, and by the end of that, okay, yeah, he's the franchise guy again. But if Brock Purdy wrestles it away from him this year, I mean, the payday in terms of becoming a franchise quarterback for him is basically an undrafted free agent, seventh round pick. I mean, that's, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And I know Scott Connor brought this up, like, he almost didn't have a choice. Like, the for him, the riskier thing was to maybe do the Tommy John surgery and miss this window of opportunity where you could have been a franchise guy. Yeah. And if he gets the Tommy John, he misses a year and a half and the 49ers move on and no one's at, and then he's just kind of bouncing around more as a journeyman. But I think he probably feels threatened by Lance to where he feels like he has to get back on the field this year. And that's why he chose this other surgery, which maybe isn't, you know, the time frame away means it may not be as repaired fully, but it's also the kind of risk he has to take. So
I don't think they're gonna just take any trade for him either, because they, not just because of the capital, right? But I think it was way easier for them to move on from Jimmy G because they have Brock Purdy, because they're a lot of the same athleticism. Mm-hmm. Trey Lance has more athleticism than the both of them, and if he can actually put it all together, that's why they drafted him that way. That's why they gave up all that capital, and they still have to see that. So if he does get a few training camp reps and they can see progression and stuff like that, I think he's the way to go. So, I mean, he's a great value too. I would agree with you, though. Tua has major upside, especially where he's getting drafted or what you can trade for him right now. He's a total buy.
The one thing I'll say about Lance is I know people love the landing spot. Oh, the 49ers, this offensive line. But I don't think it's awful for his value if he is traded, if he gets a better path to start and, you know, let Purdy start here. So I think a trade to me wouldn't be awful. Because I think right now, Brian, I probably would have Kenny Pickett ahead of Lance just simply because of, I don't know. I think if Brock Purdy turns out to be healthy, and I agree with you, Cody, I think the idea that he's ready week one may be in doubt. Probably, I think the more likely scenario is he's ready in October, which gives if Trey Lance can't beat out Sam Darnold, then it's done anyway. Like that, then we're too far gone at this point. Like if he's losing to Sam Darnold, he's a bust. I'm sorry, but assuming he beats out Sam Darnold and that month, can he win enough games and look good enough winning those games? But we'll see.
And yeah, do we see a whole different San Francisco offense? Right, that's the thing. So they can win with the offense they already have, but another dynamic player on that team would be insane.
Yeah, if we have concerns over him beating out Sam Darnold, we need to go ahead and sell Trey Lance for a third or fourth round rookie draft pick. So I don't think he's that.
So we didn't really talk Browns. This has nothing to do with anything we're talking about on the show, but Jamie, I know, loves this joke. What's the difference between the Cleveland Browns and cigarettes? Mike Tomlin doesn't smoke cigarettes. But the Steelers beat the Browns a lot. So, there you go. This was for you, Brian, by the way. He said it on Gladys's show, too. He's saying it to all the Steelers fans. So,
like I've said before, we're all pips compared to Miss Gladys. So
that's true. Gladys is amazing. Check her out next Monday, the 24th, actually, the same day as Sean Tucker's Pro Day. There'll be the new episode of the 2-Point Conversion. Usually they go live, and I'll start by saying it at 8 p.m. Mountain, just because I know Gladys is from the Mountain time zone and wants the love and respect there, but 10 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Pacific for the more conventionally mentioned time zones. So, Cody, have you done any, or are you planning to do any rookie drafts before the NFL draft?
So we just wrapped up what we call our scouting league draft. And what we do there is every year, 10 of us, we draft It's 10 rounds and we draft rookies before they're even drafted. And that's obviously why we call it a scouting. Who's the best scout? So we just wrapped that up yesterday, and I always love that one. It's always fun to do because, I mean, we're in year 7 of year 10 in this thing. So it's like I might overdraft someone just because I need that position more than a different one. So,
yeah, context matters. Yes. I just wrapped up my only rookie draft that happens before the NFL draft. And I was going to bring it up. I took 3 players in that draft. It's funny because I traded my first last year for Tua before the second concussion. I was hoping for a playoff run with him. That didn't happen. But still happy to have a Mahomes-Tua QB duo. So didn't have my own first, but ended up with the 205, the 313, and the 401. It's a 14-team Superflex league with a 1.75 tight end premium. And that's especially key onto this pick. My 3 picks ended up being Josh Downs at 205, and then at the 313, I took Tucker Kraft, and then Keaton Mitchell. And full press coverage, the Full Press Fantasy Pod, I did a recent episode going through my running back rankings in detail. I did mention Keaton Mitchell, who's inside my top 10, and I thought I was pretty happy to get that value at the start of the 4th round. But the reason I brought this up is one of the draft profiles you did was on Tucker Kraft. So 313 in a 1.75 tight end premium. Do you like the investment I made there? Should I be happy with that takeaway?
I would be very happy with that investment, especially at the 313, because I think he's going to be a sneaky good player in the draft, and I think he's also going to get drafted higher than we think. He is obviously the FCS player, but this guy is so athletic for his size. 6'5", 250, and you're running a 4.6940. Like, and I've said this in a bunch of other places as well, but I focus more on the 10-yard splits than the 40-yard dash, because I think you see a lot more 10-yard routes than 40-yard routes, especially for tight end. And to have that 1.59 second split at 6'5", 250, you got to have some athleticism. And that's the best thing Tucker Kraft has, is that you see, like, you might think 4.69 is a little slow for a tight end, but his game speed's a little bit faster than that as well. He can outrun a linebacker, and he can probably outrun some of the slower safeties too, and he can definitely catch over them. So in fantasy purposes, I think he's a good pick, especially if you have a taxi squad or a taxi spot for him, because I mean, you might need him just to, for like the half a year, he might not be anything, just because he might go to a team that already has a established tight end. Maybe not. We'll find out next week. I cannot wait.
Gotta love the Trades in 5 Listener League, that we have a rookie draft before the NFL draft, but no taxi squad. So it's like you're exposed. And that's why I was kind of okay to only have 3 picks. Take my shot. I actually had the 207 as well and was planning to take Darnell Washington. But then Shane Manila bailed me out by on the clock sending me Rashad Bateman for the 207 and the 302. So I grabbed Bateman. I need help with receiver anyway. So Downs and Bateman have kind of helped my receiver core in this draft more than anything. So I was happy there. But what I found interesting was how late the tight ends did go, considering the 1.75 tight end premium. Kincaid, actually, to Shane, went 114. So right at the end of the first round. And then Michael Mayer at 202. So we could also transition, because I know you also did a Mayer draft profile, Cody.
Yeah, I still think he's the tight end one of the class, and I think maybe not for fantasy purposes, but just overall tight end, he's the best tight end in this draft, and I'd love to see him on the Bengals, because I would say he's a more athletic Hayden Hurst. He's not as good of a blocker, but he is still one of the better blockers in the draft as well. And again, like, he ran a 4.7 40, like, and but he has the production on the receiving side. He had 67 receptions, 809 yards, and 9 touchdowns on a Notre Dame team that wasn't the best, and their quarterback definitely wasn't. So, I mean, that's still, you want a security blanket, I think Michael Mayer will be your guy. Now, in fantasy, I would still pick him probably in that same range, like 2.02. I'd be happy with that value.
Yeah, that seemed like the appropriate spot to take Kincaid and Mayer. Tank Bigsby went 113. I thought that was pretty shocking. Hendon Hooker went 111. And considering the premium on tight ends, I think I'd rather take the shot. As much as I don't like rookie tight ends, I think I'd take the shot on a Michael Mayer. Brian, actually, did you want to talk about Michael Mayer at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've had Michael Mayer being my number one, obviously, all 3 years. I guess my big question is in regards to Kincaid versus Mayer now. I mean, those to me are the top two. But that was we had a mock draft a couple of weeks ago. I intentionally went non-tight end premium to see where they would fall in the ranks of other positions. And from what I gather and what I understand, this is a tight end class that has an opportunity to maybe land three or four guys in the top 12 moving forward. So it's a really exciting tight end class, I think, overall.
Yeah, it's funny. This rookie draft I was in, it almost looked like our mock because, like I was mentioning, I traded away the 207, and if I was forced to pick, I probably was going to go Darnell Washington. It was tempting to maybe take Kendre Miller just because I love him so much from the tape, but considering the format, I was probably going to go Washington, and I was shocked that he fell all the way to the 302 and that most of these tight ends actually went in the third, which kind of looked like our non-tight end premium mock. Darnell Washington, 302. Luke Musgrave, 306. Sam Laporta, 308. And then Zach Kuntz went one pick before I took Tucker Kraft. Otherwise, I would have probably taken the guy with the 10 relative athletic score in Kuntz. So, but still happy to get I tracked them. Kraft was fifth in this class behind Washington, Kuntz, Shoemaker, and Luke Musgrave. So could have reached on Shoemaker, but I felt like Kraft was still expected to get the draft capital there as well. We could, I guess, Cody, one more tight end you did was Luke Musgrave is a draft profile. So if you want to talk with him.
The biggest elephant in the room for Luke Musgrave is, can he stay healthy? I mean, that's the biggest aspect. He did just get medically cleared of that bad knee injury he had, but again, you have another big guy at 6'6", 250. And he is just as smooth as Tucker Kraft is. Like, he doesn't move like he's 6'6". He runs like a wide receiver. Good nugget with Luke Musgrave is he has NFL ties already with his dad and his uncle. He's an athletic specimen. Obviously, like you just said, his RAS score was off the charts. And he's a willing blocker. I don't think he's the best blocker in the world, but sometimes in the NFL, you just need to put some hands on people, and that's enough, especially if you put him on a team like Miami. He's a better blocking Mike Gesicki. So if you just put a little bit of hands on someone, Tyreek's going to be gone to the races. So that would help him out there. And, yeah, I'm hoping – so in fantasy drafts, I think you're right. Like, Kuntz and Mayer and Kraft and Kincaid should all go ahead of him. But I think you're still going to get a steal if you take Luke Musgrave and you have the patience for him.
I think I read on his stats. Wasn't Musgrave kind of lightly used at Oregon State in regards to production?
Yes. His career receiving was 47 receptions, over 600 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Well, that career, like that would be okay for a single season, but yeah, that's a
yeah. I mean, what Mayer we just said last year was 80 or 60 receptions, 800 yards and 9 touchdowns. Yeah. So like the production isn't there either, but he still has that upside in his athleticism. And yeah, I mean, Oregon State isn't known to be very good at football all the time. So
that's the thing to me, though. A guy like that, you can probably get in your later rounds of your drafts, I would imagine, because people are going to look at the production being so minimal. But he's got huge upside because of the size and other parameters. So he's a guy I'd keep in mind for like third round, like maybe late third round, early fourth.
Yep, exactly.
Something like that. I think that's a great profile.
In this rookie draft, I did this again, 1.75 tight end premium. I love Evan Hall. Everyone knows that. I was shocked to see Evan Hall go like 5 picks before Luke Musgrave just because of the format. But it's funny because I'm thinking the same thing with the Packers, right? Everyone ties the Packers to rookie tight end first round. I don't want them to take the tight ends in the first round, because I think you can get just as good guys in the second or third round. Like, if they can get Zach Kuntz in the third round, that's what I want the Packers to do. Now, speaking of injury concerns, I feel like Kincaid also has some injury concerns right now. But Jamie is being fearless. And again, Shane Manila did the same thing in the rookie draft I was in with him. Kincaid as the tight end one in the class. So I think that'd be kind of a cool way to end this tight end conversation. Who is your tight end one in the rookie class right now as we stand a week from the NFL draft? Obviously, Jamie's chiming in with Kincaid. Cody, did you mention earlier that it was Mayer?
It is Mayer. It's close, but it's Mayer for sure. I mean, I wouldn't put Kincaid as two either. I would put Tucker Kraft or Musgrave maybe even above. I think he's just slightly overrated, Kincaid, but it's also like, I can't say it's because of Pac-12, because Musgrave was also in the Pac-12, but I just, from what I see, Kincaid runs a little blocky for me, and I don't like it as much. I like fluid tight ends. That's why. Now, Kincaid is a great prospect, and he's going to go very high, and he's the consensus number two or number one. I wouldn't put him there, but that's just me.
All right, Brian, who's your answer for tight end one in the class?
I'm going to speak for Jay. He's not here, but he's Kincaid. And I am so much on the fence between Kincaid and Mayer. I guess I'll go Mayer.
I'll be honest, guys. I was so impressed by the combine. I think right now, Darnell Washington's my tight end one of the class. And if he gets a better landing spot with later capital, like early day two or even like late round one, where the other guys are going mid round one, but he ends up on the Bengals, like, I think I'm sticking to that. So I'll say Washington right now. But that's to kind of show that it is all over the place. Like, last year was pretty, and I think certainly after the draft, right? When Trey McBride went round two and everyone else went round three or later, I think it really solidified him as the tight end one of the class. But I could see it being not so consensus this year. So it's definitely gonna be fun. You'll see some rookie drafts where it's Kincaid, some where it's Mayer, maybe some with me in it where it's Washington. So we'll find out as rookie draft seasons kind of keep going.
Couple of places to look, like you said, are the Bengals, but then also don't forget about the Cowboys.
Yep.
That's a great landing spot for any tight end.
That's true. All right, so I think that's we've wrapped up the tight end talk. Let's go to wide receivers now, but we'll head out to the NFL side because, hey, look at that. We're talking about that Mike Tomlin team again. Right? Sorry, Jamie. Well, Allen Robinson spoke the Browns, too, now that he is a member of the Steelers. So, Brian, as the Steelers fan, what did you think of this trade, the Steelers acquiring Allen Robinson from the Rams?
Well, that's the funny thing. I was talking to somebody, and I don't recall who it was off the top of my head. I talked to a lot of people about football, but I had mentioned the day before that the Steelers might have to – I know who it was. It was my Uncle Mark that lives in Kansas. He was in town for a week with his wife, and we were talking about the draft, and he said, what do you think the Steelers need? And I said, well, first of all, defensive back, but also like a third wide receiver. I was like, you know, we've definitely got two between Pickens and Deontay, and we're in pretty good shape there, but we're going to need a little bit more help. And the next day, we got Allen Robinson for basically just swapping the seventh round pick. So I love it. I don't know that A-Rob will do anything, but I mean, except for Brock Purdy, I can't name too many seventh round picks that have done much. So I don't mind swapping seventh round picks for an opportunity at A-Rob and see if he does anything.
And it did seem like one of Kenny Pickett's biggest weaknesses was red zone offense. Very few passing touchdowns. Now, having Najee Harris helps. You can kind of finish some drives with him running in instead. Did Pickett have more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns? Hang on, I got to look this up.
Probably.
I don't think so, but I think it's eerily close, like too close for comfort kind of thing. I think I'm full of crap. I don't think it's that at all. But anyway, all to say, Allen Robinson is a red zone weapon, will probably help, you know, Pickett significantly in terms of having that size as a perimeter option. Yeah, Pickett only had 7 touchdown passes last year, and he ran for 3, so almost half. Now, you know, when you throw 30 and you run for 15, like that ratio of half, that's amazing. But yeah, not so good here. So I think it certainly helps on that. Cody, any thoughts about Allen Robinson?
I think you need they needed a veteran presence in that room, because I think getting George Pickens just to kind of calm down out of his own head is going to make Pickens that much better. And Deontay Johnson is a certified pro. We know that. But it's also he's not a vocal leader. So giving Pickens someone that he can learn how to be a pro, I think is the biggest aspect of this trade. Because I don't know if Allen Robinson can be as productive as he has in the past. And they have Calvin Austin, too, that they drafted last year that I'm still going to believe in him, because we haven't seen him because he was injured. But I think Allen Robinson, again, he's been in this role before, helping people just get better. He's done it his whole career, and he's also proven when he's on teams, the other wide receiver next to him or the other two wide receivers next to him produce. He had OBJ, Cooper Kupp. He's had Allen Hurns. He's had Darnell Mooney. Like, he's had other people that produce with him. So he doesn't demand a double team, but you can't also double team the other guy either because of that. So he can beat you in one-on-one coverage. So I think that's a big aspect of it as well.
And in all fairness to him, Stafford was hurt most of last year. And prior to that, I mean, what good quarterback did he play with for the Bears? And I understand that Pickett is just a second-year quarterback, but he seems to be somebody that's got an opportunity to improve with continued better weapons around him. So I like this spot for Robinson personally.
So, Jamie, the Browns fans playing, let's guess the Steelers wide receiver's weight. Is Galvin Austin 150 pounds?
Probably soaking wet, yeah.
So, and isn't he Calvin Austin the second or third? It's like third. So he's like the next version of Tutu Atwell, because he's three.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm not saying Calvin Austin should be the wide receiver three. I think he's just going to help. Or I think Robinson's going to help Austin develop into what he can be. I'm not a firm believer of Matt Canada. I think if Matt Canada was gone, I think the offense would be so much better anyways. So I think I would rank a lot of those Steelers a lot more if Matt Canada was gone. But
yeah, being dynasty, I've got a feeling as a Steelers fan, Matt Kennedy will be gone after this year unless he has a really big season.
I've heard a lot of people talk about it, like wanting him gone, and I believe this is the last year of his contract, and like the Steelers tend not to fire coaches early too often. Like, they'll let the contract expires and then, okay, we'll move on. So it does kind of seem logical that if they don't get the results, they'll just easily move on. Now, if they get some type of results, they may extend him. So don't hope for too much, Steelers fans, apparently.
It's the best of both worlds. If he doesn't produce, he's gone. If he does produce, we'll be happy. So,
yeah, Steelers are great at scouting wide receivers. And I think also developing as well. It seems like they do both so well.
And yeah, that's the weird thing almost at every position. Players that have left, especially the on the defensive side, that go from the 3-4 to a 4-3, they don't tend to produce at other places like they did in Pittsburgh. So I don't know. It seems to be the apex of most of their careers when they leave.
All right, well, we're talking about the receivers coming in at the apex and like peaking at the right time, and it feels like last year, you said, okay, this wide receiver class, Jackson Smith and Jigba and Kayshon Boutte, like those are probably your top two guys, right? And I think JSN has become worthy. I know in my current rookie wide receiver rankings, he is wide receiver one. You ask Ryan Searfoss, he's got him at wide receiver one. Almost everyone's got him at one. I have Kayshon Boutte at wide receiver 14. So I know, Cody, you did draft profiles on both. And again, we want everyone to check out all these draft profiles. So we've talked a little bit about all these players and the hope that you go to goingfor2.com and check out not just Cody's draft profiles, but all the great draft profiles being written. But you can talk and compare if you want to compare at all, if they're even comparable. But Jackson Smith and Jigba and Kayshon Boutte.
Yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba is obviously the wide receiver one of the class because he's the most fluid route runner. And I think that's one of the major keys in looking at wide receiver prospects in general. Can they catch and can they route run? Because that's how you get separation in the NFL. And I think he's the most NFL ready in that regard. I will argue I have Kayshon Boutte a little higher, but that's just because we've seen he comes out of high school as a five-star prospect, number two wide receiver in 2020. He plays with, or he was on, what, that team with Ja'Marr Chase that he sat out that year, but he produced that year very well. This year, things have just spiraled out of control, and he's honestly had one of the worst off seasons, if you will, for a prospect in a very long time, with the scandal, with his training and his scores. They're not good. The combine results were not good, but he shows up in the big games. You watch his Alabama tape, he's beating some of those guys, and those guys are going to be drafted a lot higher than what he's going to be. Sometimes, you know, he's a player. He might not show up in every game, but if he's starting to get paid and he has the right coaches, I think that can get worked out. Now, that is a big if, obviously, because of what we've seen. But also, LSU isn't the best at player integrity over the years. So hopefully that can get worked out.
It's funny because it's almost a perfect transition to talk about a receiver getting paid. We'll get there in a second, but Brian, did you want to say anything about Jackson Smith-Njigba or Kayshon Boutte?
Yeah, my big question is not so much about Smith-Njigba being the wide receiver one, but my question is more in regards to like cornerstone rankings. Where do you have him ranked with Olave and the guy from the Jets that was played at Ohio State?
Wilson,
yeah.
I would say behind those guys right now, especially without knowing, it's tough to raise him ahead of them, how good they did as rookies and without seeing him produce, right?
Yeah, knowing what we have in Olave and Wilson, you have to put him behind him right now. But I mean, there is no denying that he's good, because Olave and Wilson say he's better than them. Now, he's got to prove that, obviously, but I'm going to take their word for that as well, because what are wide receivers? They're the most diva people on the football field. And if they're willing to say that, we should listen to that.
So I'm thinking of my rankings and like the kind of the spot where T. Higgins is at wide receiver 15, which I think, to be fair, is probably a little lower than consensus on Higgins, and that's fine. I'll take that. And then I've got Chris Godwin 16, I believe Deebo Samuel 17. And I feel like that's maybe the range where Jackson Smith-Njigba could fall in right away. Like, probably do want him in a dynasty startup ahead of Godwin and Deebo just because of their age. So like wide receiver 16 right now coming out, I think would make a quick sense as a ranking to me. Although that good sports, thanks for joining, saying JSN would be the wide receiver one last year. So if they all came out together as prospects, yes. And maybe I think I can buy that as prospects. But I think, again, it's the ranking him right now after what Wilson and Olave did. Like, even Drake London, right? Like, I think I've got London right around that range. Maybe even be able to justify having him ahead of London, because I think I've got London actually behind Godwin and Deebo. So probably like wide receiver 19. So I could maybe say, if I were to combine the classes right now, again, knowing what we know from 2022, I'd probably put him third at most. But again, I can get that good sports argument if we're just saying as prospects coming out, trying to compare, that he might look the best. Yeah.
And I'm assuming you've got Wilson Olave top 14, then with Higgins 15.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're ahead of him. Wilson's a tough one, because like, if Rodgers goes there, I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown and kind of almost as a hot take as my wide receiver 5. I do really believe that. But I could see Wilson replacing him there, which I think a lot of people I'm seeing in rankings kind of having him as that top 5 receiver. So Rodgers being there, a guy that we know will pepper his top targets, I think he'll get a good connection with Wilson. So Wilson's kind of all over the map for me right now in terms of rankings.
Now, you're the Packers guy. My question for you, I didn't bring up today, but it's almost as if they're not going to trade Rodgers before the draft. Is that kind of the feeling you're getting as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know, like the first, like it seems like this, like a first has to be involved in this trade to get done, right? Like franchise quarterback, it'll be, this will be the, like, not even by any stretch of a closeness, the best quarterback the Jets have ever had, right? So you got to think they're going to give up a first. And it's, is it the 13th overall pick this year? Is it next year's pick, which you'd expect with an Aaron Rodgers team will be later than 13th overall? Now, to be fair, an Aaron Rodgers team is picking from last year is picking 15th overall this year at the Packers. So I think from the Packers, it does seem like they have to just accept that. They're probably not getting this year's first. And it almost seems like the Jets will play hardball, make that pick, and then, oh, it's not available to trade for anymore, and then the Packers won't have a choice. If that's what you're waiting for, I mean, the Packers just accept the 24th next year. Like, they might be even be able to get, like, this year's second if they give up their third, right? Like, they're, or something yeah. along those lines. And I, as a Packers fan, Brian Gutekunst is awful at taking third-round picks, so I'm all for trading away that third in any capacity to for any type of value whatsoever. So we'll see. But you're right. It does seem like it and anything with happening with Lamar Jackson, it's all going to center around the draft. And we might yeah. not find out till after. Also, another comment from That Good Sports. So talking about Kayshon Boutte's tape, says it's a lot better than all the players who rose above him pre-draft. Like, I'm thinking Josh Downs, who I drafted in the rookie draft, or even like Jalen Hyatt, who really came out this year. Zay Flowers, right? Like, I think those are guys that that have kind of leapfrogged him pretty significantly. I've got them all ranked ahead of Boutte, clearly, so I buy into that. But yeah, just I guess it's the numbers, because the numbers aren't great for Kayshon Boutte, to be fair. No. The receiving yards per team pass attempt, the single season best, his single season best is 1.75, which I looked at 18 different receivers, and that was the worst out of all of them. So like, we're talking about guys like Ronnie Bell and Tyler Scott being like that single season best receiving yards per team pass attempt, significantly higher than Boutte. So Jamie's talking about his rankings, and this is the dynasty rankings. He is Wilson top five, which again, I'm seeing is not that strange, not that far of a stretch. And with Aaron Rodgers that I can buy into. Olave top 12 and JSN at 15 right now. So I'm thinking of that tier for me that kind of goes from like 10 to 15 is, I mentioned T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith. Like, those would be the type of names you'd maybe compare to JSN. I think I'd be willing to take all of them ahead of him, but I can get the argument of going with this highly touted prospect ahead of one of them.
I'm such a Higgins homer, to be perfectly honest with you. I could go in Jigba right behind Higgins and above Metcalf, but that's just me.
It's funny. You're like my other co-host on the Full Press Fantasy Pod, Brad Harvin. Does not like DK Metcalf at all. So I think share your sentiments.
Well, the one thing I don't love about Metcalf is that's more of a run-oriented offense and always will be.
They've got the best running back in football in Ken Walker. So, yeah. It should be. And Geno Smith is their quarterback. It should be a run-heavy offense.
Exactly. And as long as you're on a run-oriented offense, it's hard to rank you really high as a wide receiver.
So. I love you as a co-host, Brian, because perfect transition. What better run-oriented offense do we have in the NFL than the Baltimore Ravens? And yet they just spent big money, not on their quarterback, but on a wide receiver. Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Ravens. Cody, do you want to start off, give your reactions to this?
I was surprised he signed there with some other offers on the table. But, I mean, I think he knows something with the Lamar Jackson stuff, but it's more along the lines of Lamar Jackson makes any team better. So if I'm going to go to a team, I want to make sure that the quarterback is good too. And he wouldn't go to the Jets because he would be behind Wilson. He might be even behind another one they have. Just because
Alan Lazard and Corey Davis.
Yeah, Lazard, exactly. There, thank you. I just went blank there. But yeah, it's just he's the clear number one there. But I like Bateman a lot too. But I think it makes Bateman's value even better.
Because less now, attention, like, right? Defense yeah. can't focus on him.
Exactly. So I like it for the Ravens. Now hopefully if they get Lamar Jackson back, that's the biggest domino. I like it a lot more, even if that's the case too.
Because Jackson's always had like high touchdown percentages. So like you know Beckham, his priority is always scoring touchdowns, right? Like the Nick Chubb video, and it's like I want a touchdown. I want to win. Oh, exactly. Nick Chubb, you're the best. It would work for that. And I think it actually does make a good buy window for Bateman, to your point. And obviously I just did that in a league where I went and traded for Bateman, but it might be, people might be panicking a little bit and more willing to sell Bateman cheaper than they had been before because of this. So it might be just a, buy on the news, sell on the hype type thing. Brian, your division rival Ravens. We referenced the Browns a little bit. I think we talked about the Bengals, so we've made the tour. But the Steelers fan, what do you think about this as Beckham signing?
I think it's a good signing for the Ravens. I don't think it's a great fantasy landing spot for Beckham necessarily. I mean, being honest, there's never been a great wide receiver on the Ravens in regards to fantasy. Marquise Brown was better when Kyler was healthy, theoretically, for the first half of the season than he was with the Ravens. So I'm just not sold on fantasy impact for Odell, but I think kind of like the Allen Robinson, it diversifies the offense even more and also gives them an advanced elite older receiver. To Bateman's still very young and hadn't been on the field much, so He's got the upside, but at the same time, Beckham would be more consistent as long as he can prove to be healthy right away. So I like it for the Ravens, not so much for Odell.
The one thing I would maybe push back on a little bit, I'm looking at the numbers, maybe you're right, but his final season with the Ravens, Marquise Brown put up 91 catches, had 1,000 yards, only 6 touchdowns, which actually was a career low at that point, even though he had more touchdowns on a 46 catch rookie season. But looking at last year, 107 targets over 12 games with the Cardinals would put him on pace for 143 targets. That last year with the Ravens, he had 146. So I don't know that it's really all that different. If anything, I have more touchdown concerns with Marquise Brown because Kyler Murray has not been a really good red zone passing touchdown quarterback, more of a red zone running quarterback. So, although I'd still do like Marquise Brown as a top 24 wide receiver still, and especially without Hopkins, I think he should repeat that volume. But I don't think it was a massive upgrade of him going to, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. I don't think it's really a downgrade much, but I would say kind of equalized his value to be fair.
That was full season stats, though, for Marquise, right?
Yep, it was. And I'm extrapolating, right? Like 107 targets over 12 games would basically put him on that same pace. But he also, when he came back from the injury, he also was seeing less targets. So in theory, he might have been able to eclipse that, get the 150 target mark. I don't think the efficiency is really there with Kyler. I think I think Lamar Jackson's a better passer than Kyler Murray. And maybe we can argue Lamar Jackson's passing outside the numbers isn't great, but he's been pretty accurate over the middle, and I think he makes good red zone decisions. Again, Kyler still has some concerns there. So I wasn't jumping on. The reason I was ranking Marquise Brown so highly last year was just how well he did as a third year. Like, he really took that step up. So I think it's more just his own ability, which will help this year because he may not have Kyler Murray. He might be wishing he has Kyler Murray for a ton of the season. So, yeah, he's going to have to rely on his efficiency. He's one of the few Cardinals players I really would want to invest in fantasy this year.
That's another topic I meant to put on the sheet. Sure. D-Hop and his trade talks. Right. Is he going anywhere?
I'd have to imagine yes. I think the Cardinals, I think, are... This strikes me as something that's probably going to happen draft day, almost like how the Cardinals traded for Marquise Brown, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. So then if D-Hop leaves, what does that do for Marquise?
Yeah, there's more targets, but more attention, right? It's the conundrum. Cody, feel free to share your thoughts as well.
Yeah, I don't know where D-Hop's going to go. I think he is going to get traded, so that'll help Marquise Brown's value for sure. I hope it's to a team where, he can actually get into the playoffs and we can see what he can do. But for fantasy relevancy, I still don't know. So we'll have to find out when he gets there. I mean, he's still going to be a top 24 receiver. So It's just more of a, if you're in a dynasty, do you pull the trigger and go get a Hopkins or do you go JSN in that regard, right? A lot of people go the young route. If I can get three stud wide receivers at their age, I might just do that for the right price. So
to that good sports credit, Colt McCoy is not really going to be a value increase maker for receivers.
Yeah, if they have to rely on Colt McCoy, it's not going to improve much for sure.
I mean, Kyler Murray won a game with like 38% completion percentage, and they were touting him as such a good quarterback. So I would agree with you that I think Lamar Jackson is already a better thrower than him. So that's just my opinion.
The other thing that's interesting for Marquise Brown is, you know, in addition to D-Hop, Ertz was hurt at the end of last year. I'm not sure what his status is for this upcoming year. I know they've got the second year McBride, but, you know, that's still a work in progress. So Marquise could be in line for a really big year this year.
And it's funny because I think Hopkins would almost fit best with like a young rookie quarterback about to be drafted, like whoever the Texans draft could use a DeAndre Hopkins, for instance. So that'd be hilarious if that goes there. But the final rookie profile we're going to talk about, Cody, was CJ Stroud, and wherever Stroud lands, like that would be maybe a good spot for Hopkins too, as you'd love him to get that type of quarterback. But I have CJ Stroud as the QB1 in this class. Do you share that opinion, Cody?
I do not. I think Bryce Young is the number one, and the biggest reason for that is I think CJ Stroud is obviously the best pocket passer. I'll give him that. But I think just the creativity that Bryce Young can bring is second to none. I always bring up the hypothetical, and I think it's a good hypothetical, is you put CJ Stroud on Alabama this year with the weapons that he had compared to the weapons CJ Stroud had. I think Bryce Young would have won the national championship with Ohio State. So in that regard, I think, and I don't like any of the narratives being run on CJ Stroud right now. I don't want to be part of that. He's going to get drafted very high, and he deserves to be, and he's very good. But it seems like some of those games, CJ Stroud, when I watched him, he checks out. Like second, third quarter, he just checks out a little bit, and he's like, oh, yeah, I need to play quarterback. And now let's go win this game. He doesn't put people away like I want him to. Now, I think if you get him an NFL team and a good quarterbacks coach, that could change. And I would eat my words. But I think it's consensus there, one and two. It's just who do you prefer? And especially in the NFL locker rooms, a lot of people still love that quarterback, so they're going to rank him one. Bryce Young, I know a lot of people worry about his size and ability, but he doesn't have the injury history like Tua did coming out. So I don't think that's fair for him to have that put on him as well.
All right. So, yes, I've answered mine. Yeah, Brian, did you want to – I guess we would have addressed that last week, right? But Cody's guy is Bryce Young. I'm going Stroud. If you want to just share your QB1 with the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, my QB1 is also Bryce Young, and I agree in regards to, I don't know, I mean, I saw a mock today, which I can't buy into either, that I think it was through CBS, that had Stroud falling all the way to pick number 11. I definitely don't see that. I think I'll be shocked if the Texans don't take him too. Bryce Young's picked at one.
I'd still be surprised that the Panthers don't take him, frankly, but I guess Justin Fields fell to 11, and I wonder how many of the same teams that passed on Justin Fields also passing on CJ Stroud. So the stupidity cycle continues. It never ends.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was CBS. I would be shocked. They had Bryce Young at one and Levis at four. I think the Colts are at four, and I forget if it's the Bucks at 11 or who it is, but I was shot by that mock.
So that good sports kind of puts us well, and we could talk about Anthony Richardson in the conversation as well, but saying Bryce has the highest floor, but Anthony Richardson has the highest ceiling. You guys agree with that statement?
I could agree with it just but on athletic ability alone, but at the same time, I would not, if I was a GM, I would not personally be willing to take a chance on Richardson just because he's played so few games in college. And being an SEC fan, and yes, I know Vanderbilt's just barely part of the SEC. He's had so many bad games where he misses wide open receivers. So he may be the next thing, the next Tom Brady win 8 Super Bowls, but he'll have to prove it to me first if I was a GM.
I think the most important thing about that comment is, yeah, Bryce Young might have the highest floor and AR might have the highest ceiling, but CJ Stroud's going to be the most consistent. So which one do you like better in that regard? And that's what they're arguing. I think that's what a lot of these teams are arguing about. So it'll be interesting. Like, I would say in the draft this next week, the Cardinals are in a prime position to get the motherload of picks or anything they want with that number 3 pick, and they might even just use the pick. They can also use a top end player. But if someone wants to go and grab either the AR or the Stroud, if he falls to 3, someone's going to come up and draft him then.
Jamie referencing a guest a couple weeks ago, Brian Ford coming on, and was close. The ceiling is the floor for Richardson. Basically, as long as he can get on the field, he should access his ceiling with his rushing. Like, he doesn't have to necessarily be that great at NFL football to hit that ceiling. Whereas, you know, for Young and Stroud to hit their ceilings, it's they're throwing 40 touchdowns a year and they're having to be excellent quality NFL quarterbacks, which is very difficult to do. Hence why that we can never even get 32 guys at the same time to do it properly.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're a fantasy website. So it's Richardson can be a bad NFL quarterback, but a good fantasy quarterback. So he definitely can do that.
So I'll throw this out as an example. So the Colts pick at number 4. They're not likely to get a chance for either one of the top two, Young or Stroud. But a team like the Colts that already has somebody like a Jonathan Taylor, wouldn't you want a guy that's got the most floor rather than the most ceiling?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, probably not, right? You're trying to go for that high end. Who do you think can win the Super Bowl? So, and it seems like Jim Irsay is just that crazy enough that he'll want the high ceiling. Although it seems like the rumors are they're interested in Will Levis. But that's Jim Irsay. So you never. They also just hired Jeff Saturday as their head coach last year. So that would also make sense for that same team to draft Will Levis, wouldn't it?
Exactly, and I mean, to me, if I was the Texans, if I wanted to go for a quarterback and it didn't have a lot necessarily around me, why not go for the most ceiling that everybody keeps talking about and go with it, and Anthony Richardson?
It's true, because it seems like that's the one team that hasn't been tied to Richardson at all. Maybe because so much of it seemed like they were really in on, we're going to draft Bryce Young. A lot of the mocks kind of indicate that. And I think to a certain extent, that might still be the truth. But yeah, you're right, Rich. We haven't really heard. We've heard Richardson to the Raiders, Richardson, you know, the Panthers traded up for Richardson, or, you know, certainly to the Colts a lot. We've heard those rumors, but yeah, I really haven't heard much Richardson to the Texans, to be fair. Anyway, I thought this was fantastic, Cody, that for you to join us and again, share tidbits on all the rookies that you've profiled so far. And again, part of this was to encourage people to go read the full profiles themselves on goingfor2.com. One last time. Sorry, I got to hide the guest's face. I always feel bad about this. But our QR code is from our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. So scan the QR code or use the promo code GF2 to get a double deposit match of up to $100 when joining Underdog. And you can use that money as soon as you sign up and start betting today. Or best ball drafting today. That's the best, isn't it? Drafting.
It's okay to cover up my face in that regard because I'm not going to match the $100. So Underdog can definitely do that for me. So.
All right. Awesome. But glad that you're able to match our enthusiasm for rookies. And it seems like you really enjoyed coming on and talking. We certainly, I don't want to necessarily speak for Brian, but I sense that both Brian and I really enjoyed having you on. Is that right, Brian?
Oh, I loved having Cody on. That's one thing about it. I did Debbie for the first year before last, so I'm fairly familiar with this class, but I admire somebody that took the extra time to go and do a deep dive, especially on some of the lesser-known players that people don't know about. So it's awesome to have him on.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed coming on as well. I had a great time. So whenever you need.
Awesome, Cody. Thank you very much. And you can follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Folden, his name, which is Cody Folden. So yes, pretty simple and straightforward. Love it. Hopefully it'll help people find that. Brian's at VandyGrad92. I'm at Senra Says. And of course, check everything out on Twitter at Going4Two Live. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And get that hit that notification bell so you get live updates for all the shows when they go live. I don't believe there's anything tomorrow night, Friday night. There will, of course, be pre-draft shows next Thursday, next Friday night. I'll be part of hosting that. And then, of course, the Dynasty Gambit will completely take over Saturday, the draft. That's the next time you'll see us on the Gambit is Saturday, April 29th. And Brian, I believe we're going to start right at 12 noon Eastern. Which I believe the round four of the draft will be starting right around that time. And we'll probably go for about 3 hours or so. Should be fun.
It should be a great time. I'll have to set my alarm clock. I'm a late riser, so I'll have to be sure to set it in time. But everybody get excited, and we'll definitely have coverage all next week.
I guess as long as either Gator or I are on to start at 12 and one of us hits the live button to broadcast, that's all that really matters. So yeah, should be there for sure. But again, thank you, Cody. Thank you, my co-host, Brian. And, of course, thanks all the listeners and viewers. Jamie was in here. That Good Sports as well. Appreciate the support, the likes, and all the follows and everything. And follow us all along. And we'll be back in about a week and 2 days here on the Dynasty Gambit. Thank you all, and bye for now.